At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee is coming down after all. Yesterday, the Dallas City Council voted to remove the statue in Oaklawn. That brought a lawsuit and a temporary restraining order. The statue's fate was decided this afternoon in a federal courtroom. KERA's Christopher Connolly reports.
Dallas resident Hiram Patterson and the Sons of Confederate Veterans filed suit right after the council voted, arguing that it had breached procedural rules and that taking down the statue would violate their First Amendment rights. The city fired back, saying Patterson didn't have standing to bring the suit, and it rejected the constitutional and procedural arguments. In the end, Judge Sidney Fitzwater sided with the city. Larry Casto is a Dallas city attorney.
I think the judge's ruling today recognize the legality and appropriateness of this process, and as we move forward, we'll continue to remain open and transparent.
Less than 24 hours earlier, right after the council voted, workers started preparing to remove the 81-year-old statue, but they soon ran into problems. The statue was bigger than expected, and the crane they'd brought was too small. That gave time for the legal challenge to be filed, and the restraining order halted the activity. After the judge ruled, City Councilman Dwayne Carraway said the timeline isn't set yet for when the statue will come down.
This time, when they return, then they will come and we will do it respectfully and we will store it. It will not be destroyed. It's very important that folks know this will be stored.
For watchers in the courtroom, the decision drew mixed reactions. Larry James from the nonprofit City Square called it a victory.
It's time that we take the moral high ground and proclaim to all of our youth and all of our families that we're all one. No more division, no more second-class citizens, no more institutionalized racism. Got a long way to go. Taking the statues down is not going to solve that problem, but we can go to work together.
Beth Beazle disagrees. She's part of the Park City's Preston Hollow Leadership Forum.
And just because you call it racist propaganda doesn't make it so. They've made a claim, but they've not made their case. And it's not the proper role of city government to try to protect people from hurting other people's feelings.
The debate in Dallas about what's to be done with this and other Confederate symbols will continue. A 20-member task force is working on a comprehensive plan for the statues, streets, and parks that commemorate the Confederacy. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
In 2010, then-San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro commissioned a task force to look at how the city might better educate its students. The recommendation? Full-day pre-kindergarten for four-year-olds. The program was implemented in 2013. And today, I think Chris Boyd talked with political reporter Eric Trickey, about the city's long-term bet.
The task force took a look at a few different possible interventions. They took a look at helping high school students get to college. They took a look at middle school, which is a time that a lot of kids will fall behind who had been doing okay. And they looked at pre-kindergarten, and the studies that they looked at showed that you could make the biggest impact by working with the youngest kids and setting them on a path for success in the rest of their school years. And what that meant was that if you're trying to do this not just for the sake of those kids but for the sake of the city, there's going to be a long-term payoff. For instance, the four-year-olds that are going into pre-kindergarten this month, they're going to be part of the San Antonio High School's graduating class of 2031. So it's an investment with a very long-term payoff.
Eric Trickey wrote the political story, How Julian Castro Bet on Four-Year-Olds to Transform San Antonio. You can find a link to that piece at think.kera.org, and that's where you can also subscribe to the podcast. This episode airs again tonight at 10. In 2017, experts predict we'll use our smartphones to capture more than 100 billion photos. But do we really look at them? In this week's Artist Spotlight, Art Seeks Hadi Mwangi visits a popular Latino marketplace where one artist is trying to create images that endure and share a more detailed portrait of the North Texas immigrant population.
The Plaza Latina Bazaar is a quirky little shopping center in North Dallas. It's the size of a large grocery store, and it's the sort of place where you can pick up hard-to-find Mexican candies, piñatas, and gorgeous gowns for quinceañeras. You can get your eyebrows threaded, pick up a car stereo, and maybe even make a new friend. During August, the Plaza Latina was also home to an art project.
I have been here since August 5th. And I'm giving away free photos to people, so it has been great, really busy.
That's Marcela Reyes. She's a 29-year-old multimedia artist. She lives in Garland and is pursuing her MFA at UT Arlington.
Yeah, it's a little bit hard because, you know, from my house to Arlington is an hour. But I'm happy. I wouldn't change that.
Usually, Reyes draws, paints, and uses found objects to make her work. But this spring, she won a grant from the Nasher Sculpture Center, and she spent the money to set up a portrait studio at the bazaar. Her space is about the size of an office cubicle, but at least a dozen people are in line for a photo.
And I said, okay, I was just asking what background they want.
Reyes gives families high-quality prints she hopes they'll treasure, but she also plans to exhibit the photos. She wants to highlight the Latino immigrant experience, especially the experience of undocumented people. For her, it's personal.
You know, when I moved here, I was undocumented. So to me, it's still a big part of me. And I feel like now that I'm able to, I need to talk more about the issues because sometimes they can't.
Reyes's family immigrated to North Texas 15 years ago from Monterrey. She was 14 and didn't want to come to America. But the violence in her home state was wreaking havoc. Unfortunately, the U.S. wasn't completely safe either, so she felt she had to make herself invisible.
So one of the things that was told is, like, you need to do, like, you belong here, because if you don't dress up like you belong here or act like you belong here, they're going to pick out on you. And, you know, it was when ICE was going to stores and stuff like that.
Reyes is a citizen now, but talk of a border wall and attempts to undo Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, remind her of what's at stake.
Again, I was really angry about it because I started thinking about people I know that are undocumented and who are afraid. And, you know, all those feelings came back to, like, what are they going to do? What's going to happen?
Back at the bazaar, Reyes is still busy photographing people. She's taken portraits of children, families, and even couples. All of them seem thrilled to be taking a photo home today. Alma Guzman is a regular at Latina Plaza. She and her mother stumbled upon Reyes's photo studio by accident, and they jumped at the opportunity for a free photo.
Nowadays, people are always trying to take selfies or photos with their phone, but it's nice to get your photo taken with a professional.
Jose Pineda agrees. The 37-year-old property manager from Honduras says all of his family photos are on his phone. He's delighted about the opportunity for a photo.
Yes, of course. It's something to remember. A photo like this, you take care of it. You put it on a wall for your kids.
Pineda says he'll cherish the two portraits that he took with his son.
Oh, they're perfect. They're so beautiful.
Reyes is still thinking through how she might exhibit these portraits. But she does know one thing. It's important that the people in them will be seen. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
Want to learn more about Marcela Reyes and the people she's photographed? Head over to artandseek.org. You'll find photos of Reyes and her work, as well as an extended interview with the artist. And while you're there, check out dozens of other profiles of North Texans featured in our Artist Spotlight. And coming up tomorrow morning, many of the voices reacting to President Trump's decision to wind down the DACA program have come from big cities like Dallas, Houston, and Los Angeles. We'll hear from a much smaller burg in East Texas. Former NPR journalist Tasneem Raja has been collecting DACA stories for her new startup called the Tyler Loop. That's tomorrow morning at 8:22 during Morning Edition. Tonight, mostly clear skies, low around 62. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 87. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.